From the Orion Policy Institute, this is Orion Talks. Our podcast brings together experts for a conversation about events shaping the world at the local, national, and global levels. Tune in as we discuss foreign policy, security, human rights, political and economic development, and various other issues.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Orion Talks. I'm your host, Marta Furlan. Today, I'm joined by Dawison Belem Lopez. Professor Lopez is the Professor of International and Comparative Politics at the Federal University of Minas Gerais and a Research Fellow of the National Council for Technological and Scientific Development in Brazil. From 2018 to 2022, he also served as Deputy Dean for International Affairs at the Federal University of Minas Gerais. Having authored and edited 10 books and dozens of peer-reviewed articles on topics related to Latin American politics, Brazilian foreign policy, and international institutions, Professor Lopez previously was a visiting researcher at the German Institute for Global and Area Studies in Hamburg, visiting professor at the Catholic University of Leuven in Mons, and a rising young fellow at the Observer Research Foundation in New Delhi, and Suzy Scholar on Foreign Policy at the University of Delaware. He has given lectures at the invitation of seven national governments and the UN, and delivered presentations or published his articles in 30 different countries. Professor Lopez, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to Orion Talks.
Thank you so much, Marta, for this very kind introduction.
Thank you. So today in this podcast episode with Professor Lopez, we are going to talk about Brazil's foreign policy, including the country's relations with the Latin America neighbors and its relations with the United States, especially now that a change in the administration in Washington is imminent. So without further ado, Professor Lopez, I would kindly ask you to start by giving us an overview of Brazil's foreign policy outlook under the current presidency of Mr. Lula da Silva.
Sure, my great pleasure to be joining this Horizon Policy Institute talk. And with regard to Brazil's foreign policy, I could possibly come back a few years. In the beginning of this century, in the early 2000s, Lula da Silva, the current president of Brazil, has come to power for his first mandate in 2003, precisely. And this story began when he started to put into practice a soft revisionist foreign policy. So during his two first terms in office, he, in a way, changed a little bit the Brazilian foreign policy profile. For the first time in the history of this country, of Brazil, one could see a more, say, bold attitude, especially with regard to international security. Brazil has, for the first time in its history, joined in the condition of leadership the UN mission for the stabilization of Haiti, the MINUSTA, in the year 2004. And that was a rupture with Brazil's tradition not to participate in a leading position in this kind of mission. And to conclude his second mandate, and I think that was the culmination of this process, Brazil has even mediated an agreement involving Tehran and Ankara regarding the Iranian nuclear program. So that was in the year 2010. And I believe that this moment is important for one to understand what is happening now in the country, because during the first decade of this century, in a way, Lula laid the foundations of his current foreign policy in Brazil. The moment he comes back, the moment he initiates his third mandate as a president of the country, he's got a much more brave, proactive attitude with regard to international security. And one can feel it, one can see this when the Brazilian position for the war in Ukraine is recalled, Brazil has been, in a way, defiant of the Western consensus. And when it comes to the conflict in Gaza, Lula went as far as to affirm that the Israeli foreign policy position under Netanyahu was tantamount to the position of Germany under Hitler and the Third Reich. So that is really different from the kind of attitude one could expect from Brazil, historical Brazil, which was a much lower profile country that would not engage in this kind of dispute or this kind of conflict zone. But this time, Brazil looks a bit different. Brazil is more defiant of the long-established Western consensus. And so this is what intrigues more foreign audiences, because possibly we are dealing with a different kind of international actor as compared to historical Brazil.
Thank you so much for this wonderful overview. And now, if we can zoom in a bit more on the relations between Brazil and its neighbors in Latin America, what is the current status of affairs in the region?
That's a great question, because Brazil alone accounts for half of South America in terms of demography, economy, and territory. So Brazil is a natural leader in the regional settings, but not necessarily the country that is showing the way, spearheading the processes in the region. That is an interesting mismatch. Some people say that Brazil is a leader without followers. It's an interesting kind of actor that has got credentials, has got the size and the clout to be considered a regional leader, but not always Brazil will have the ability to show the way, to lead the way. And this time is not different, because even if Lula enjoys some popularity and is seen as a seasoned international statesman, he's not in a position to unite the region. This time, Argentina seems to be very reluctant to accept Brazil's leadership. Argentina under Javier Milei, and there are some other countries, especially those led by a right-wing or center-right politicians, and they are not willing to embrace the directions that Lula is showing and is pointing towards. So regional integration in South America, unlike in the beginning of this century when there was an important movement towards integration, especially under UNASUR, the foundation of the Union of South American Nations dates back to the year 2008, and it happened under the leadership of Lula da Silva back then. But now he's struggling with integration, and so far he could not succeed with this purpose of reviving UNASUR and reuniting the continent. These days, I have the impression that South America looks much more heterogeneous. It's much more difficult for a Brazilian president to play this kind of leader role. And not just because of rightist leaders. When you look at the left spectrum, the batch of leftist leaders is also too diversified. There is from, Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro to Chile's Boric, there's a lot of difference, internal variance among the leaders of the region. So that makes the task of bringing South American countries closer and closer virtually impossible, I'm afraid.
Thank you. And if you can share a bit more about these very interesting points that you were making, Have you witnessed any specific difference between the previous Bolsonaro administration and the current Lula administration when it comes to navigating the complexities of Latin American policy or posturing Brazil in a certain way within the regional landscape?
That's the million-dollar question, huh? Because I believe it is at the heart of any attempt to depict Lula's foreign policy. It is, I believe, all in all, Lula is attempting to differentiate himself and Brazil from the previous administration of the country. From day one, from the start, even before this, from the time of the presidential campaign, there is this attempt to make Brazil look different, to reintegrate Brazil into the global chain of, I don't know, commerce, diplomacy. So Brazil, as he himself has told the world in late 2022, after getting elected, he told the world Brazil was back in the game. And this is what he's trying to put into practice, the revival of Brazil as an international player. Because during Bolsonaro's tenure, there was an intentional effort to make Brazil distant from multilateral fora, distant from international institutions. Brazil was, as Bolsonaro's foreign minister has said once, a pariah in international relations, and a proud pariah, one that was aspiring to become isolated, and that is so at odds with Brazil's diplomatic tradition. Trust me, this is not Brazil. The kind of country that we have witnessed and whose actions we have seen under Bolsonaro, that contradicts Brazil's profile over 200 years of history as an independent nation. So that was not Brazil. And this is, I believe, what Lula is trying to emphasize all the time. The Brazil as a nation, a trustworthy nation, is back in the game. And when it comes to the region, to Latin America, this Brazil under Lula is much more receptive, much more open to collaboration than under Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro was much keener on having bilateral connections with like-minded countries and only with them. And under U.S. Donald Trump, he was proud to tell the world that he was the Trump of the tropics, or the tropical Trump. He mimicked Trump all the way, while Bolsonaro and Trump were the chiefs of state in their respective countries. But not just Trump, Israel's Netanyahu, Hungary's Orbán, and a few others were seen by Bolsonaro as his soulmates, the ones with whom Brazil should develop connections and international relations writ large. But now Brazil is back to this tradition of universalism, diplomatic universalism. So under Lula, things look very different, both globally, but I'd say especially regionally. Brazil again wants to be the most important country in the region, and even wants to pay some price for this, wants to be the paymaster. That would not happen under Bolsonaro.
Thank you so much, Professor Lopez. And since you were mentioning Trump before and the kind of relationship that was established between Bolsonaro and Trump, can you tell us more about the relationship between Brazil and the United States and how this has been in the past few years under the Biden administration?
Another great question, because, and again, I'll ask you your permission to come back a little bit. Because for one, to understand Brazil-U.S. relations, I have to come back to the early 20th century. At this moment, Brazil has, in a way, become tied to the U.S. The moment the U.S. Became Brazil's number one commercial partner, and that happened early in the 20th century, the two countries started developing a very close relationship. And that lasts until current day. I would say Brazil and the U.S. are allies. This relationship has become even stronger under World War II, especially World War II, when Brazil literally sided with the U.S. and was one of the war victors, even if not in a very central role, but even in a supporting role, Brazil was fighting along with the U.S. So this relationship, especially at the level of the military, has become very strong, Brazil-U.S. relationship. But also, there's another important trend. As Brazil grew mature, as Brazilian state capacity became more salient, the country has started to disagree with the U.S. more and more. And this is identifiable if you look at the way Brazil and the U.S. vote at the United Nations General Assembly. There's a growing divergence between the two countries. Nothing that could harm this partnership, historic partnership, but the countries disagree more and more because they have different needs, different concerns, and this is, I'd say, natural. That was bound to happen since the beginning, and Brazil has become a country that is very that is looking forward to developing its own way in international relations. Brazil pursues an autonomous foreign policy for decades now, and when Biden and Lula both were in power, we could see that the band or the spectrum where they could agree was not too broad. The margin for agreement was kind of limited because, well, the two countries have become too different, one and the other. And this agenda, this common agenda, was basically limited or made up of a few topics like the environment, workers' rights, trade unions, and things like this. The fight against misinformation, disinformation, or the strengthening of democratic institutions. And that was all. For each and every other topic, they would disagree. And namely, with regard to the war in Ukraine and the conflict in Gaza, there was a huge disagreement. Brazil was all the time embodying the kind of, you know, global South country speech, discourse, while the US and NATO countries would see the situation in a rather different way. So this relationship, this is where the relationship stands. And now when Lula and Trump, when they share this condition of being the leaders of the two most important countries in the Americas, let's see what the future holds, because it's not an easy situation, I'm afraid. This relationship has to be constructed, and I don't see a natural zone of convergence between the two leaders.
Thank you so much, Professor Lopez. So to conclude this episode, my last question wanting to be on how do you expect Brazil and the U.S. relations to change with the upcoming return of Mr. Trump to the presidency? You already addressed towards the end of your previous answer some of these points. I'm wondering if there is some element that arouses special concern in from your point of view that you would like to share with us when reflecting on the new Lula-Trump relationship?
Yeah, great question. Pointing towards the future. The thing is, from an economic viewpoint, if Trump delivers what he's promising, that is a more nationalist economic policy or economic orientation, then there might be a problem for Brazil, because Brazil is, or used to be until recently, a net exporter to the U.S. And Brazil was even having some surpluses, commercial surpluses, in a way that would not happen for many years. And if Trump really engages in this economic and commercial wars, as he's been promising, this might be a problem for Brazil. But not only from this perspective, I'd say that Trump's renunciation of multilateralism is also a problem for Brazil, who's been a champion of multilateralism for 200 years. This has been our number one vocation. We have always placed our bets on international institutions, and this doesn't seem to be the way Trump will be handling the U.S. foreign affairs. So this is also a source of concern for Brazilian diplomats in the near future. And there's also, and to conclude my thoughts, there's the region. The way Trump will position the U.S. Toward regarding the Americas, the hemisphere. In the past, when Trump first was the president of the U.S., he's been very unilateral and very impositive in the way he dealt with the hemispheric affairs. For Brazil, this is a problem. This should be a problem, because as a country that is trying to connect, is trying to bring the region together, the presence of Trump at the White House could be very disruptive. So in general, this is how I see.
Thank you so much, Professor Lopez. This has been an extremely interesting episode. We have learned a lot from you. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and the insights with us. And I would also like to thank all of our listeners for following this latest episode of Orion Talks.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.